Good morning. I'm John Warrens, youth and family minister at the Brown Trail Church of Christ in Bedford, Texas. Been there for 2 years now. I moved down from Denver, Colorado, where I was working with the Bear Valley School of Preaching or Bear Valley Bible Institute with the congregation there, the fine people of Denver. Wayne Jones had asked me to speak on this topic, and I don't know why. I'm not an elder, but I appreciate his the opportunity that the eldership here at University Church Christ and Wayne, and under his directorship, this workshop. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you this morning, and the topic is keeping them. Closing the door. So we will make quick application. I was only given 37 minutes. So to make application of this topic, we'll close the doors and lock them, and we'll speak for an hour and a half, and we'll show them. Oh, wait, there's two elders here. Never mind. No. So, like I said, not an elder. I have served under several elderships over the years. 14 congregations my family and I have been a part of, most of those thanks to Uncle Sam and his wanting me to not stay put in any particular Air Force military installation. But it's been a joy wherever I've been serving under elderships. Not all congregations that we've been a part of have had an eldership. Those that we have been a part of, we have joyously, willingly submitted ourselves under the elderships and have learned a lot from them. The first 19 years of my life, I was a worldly man, young man. Wasn't until stationed overseas in Okinawa, Japan, that I put on Christ, and life changed, obviously, when everybody puts on Christ. But that congregation, I learned a lot. As I was given this topic of keeping them, closing the door, the early years of my walk with the Lord, obviously, like the early years as a child, are impressionable. It was with great joy to be with a congregation, a military congregation mostly, of about 150 of those members. I would say 120 to 125 were military. All the elders there, the three I believe at the time, were all military members themselves. And we were a family, just like any congregation should be. And that actually will be the first point I'll be driving home on that. But I learned a lot as when you are away from your own family, you're 19, 20 years old, a little baby, you are halfway around the world, not used to the Japanese customs or even just the military lifestyle since it's your first assignment, you have to gravitate to something that you're comfortable with. Praise be to God, we gravitated to the church. We learned a lot from them. As we look at and we discuss this morning the idea of keeping them, maybe I'm too simplistic, but I look at the example that we see in Scripture, not just the example that I had in the military as a Christian, but I always like to go back to Acts chapter 2. That's where it all began. That's where the church was first formulated. And we see in Acts chapter 22, after they put on Christ through baptism, we see the activity that they were a part of. Turn with me there to Acts chapter 2, if you would. As I talk to you all, as I assume most of you are elders, a part of an eldership, some are not, but hopefully you are developing yourselves to the point to where someday you will meet those we call qualifications. We could also call them characteristics. The person you want to be. I look at Acts chapter 2, and I see though an eldership or elderships were not established at this time, The church was being led by the apostleship. We look at in verse 42, it says, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place throughout the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And we know further on they sell things. They help those who have a need meet that need. We see in verse 46, day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. There's more fellowship again from home to home, right? They were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor, not just within themselves, but with who? All the people. Those who were watching this event, if you will, this activity of people who have changed their lives, come out of the Jewish faith into this thing called Christianity. Of course, the word Christian isn't referred to until I think Acts 16, but something's been going on. Something's changed. These people have now come together and been a family. I encourage you as elders, as you are already doing, and it's good to just get a refresher. It's good to come down here to a focal point and get boosted with reminders of things that we already know, right? I want to encourage you to help keeping in the idea of keeping them in the church and closing that door. We need to treat our members, continue to treat them like family. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 3. Looking at 1 Timothy chapter 3, we're very aware of these qualities, these characteristics, these qualifications. But in verse 5, how did you who have been appointed as elders, how did you get there? Well, we're familiar with all the text here in chapter 3, but looking at verse 5, it says, but if a man does not know how to manage his own household, how will he take care of the church of God? The managing of the household is managing our family, beginning with the infancy of our children and our marriages. And then we develop into a stronger leader within our own household first. The parallels, the similarities, I believe, are the same. And we shouldn't deviate from that. And that is, we need to treat them like our own family. Which, again, not saying you're not, but to say, keep doing what you're doing as treating them like family. Man, the elderships that we have submitted ourselves under over years past, like a dad, like a father, someone who's just taken the time to hear me, to listen to me, to be concerned with my soul, and be concerned for my family, taking the time to spend with them like family is our first point. Our Brown Trail, our elders there, likewise, do a great job of displaying and showing this example. Their actions speak louder than their words. Their title is elder, but also that shepherding is not just a title, but first and foremost, it's an action. It's a verb. We've heard that love, we know, is a noun, but you don't understand it until it becomes a verb, until it becomes an action form. Likewise, the same with shepherding. We see that in Peter. Peter, the elder himself, who has come a long way in 1 Peter, as he writes to a dispersed church, a church that is hurting. He encourages those shepherds, noun, to verb, shepherd. They're hurting. They need you. They need your help. Turn with me also to Acts chapter 20. Thinking of the idea of we need to treat them like family. Because first of all, if you think about your own household, all right, we don't have exit signs outside our door or inside our homes, do we? I know by law, you got to have them here inside our own church building. But we don't talk about the exit doors, do we, at home? We don't talk about the exit doors here. Sadly, there's times where a member may be disgruntled, having a difficult time. Again, thinking back to my time in the congregations, I've matured a lot, and I still got a lot more maturing to do. There probably were a couple congregations, I know for sure that a couple congregations, my family and I took my family out of because of the situation, and we went on to another congregation. I look back, as always, hindsight's 20/20, and hindsight is also a show of immaturity. In this particular case, I left a couple congregations I shouldn't have, that maybe I could have stuck it out. Because now that I realize I was a family member and we need to work those things out, sometimes an exit door, not just the member, but the elders, is something we just shouldn't be talking about. We need to be working out these issues here and there. But in Acts chapter 20, we see an example of not a disgruntled member. Paul is definitely not one. Paul was under a difficult situation. But he was switching gears as I believe Brian was talking to elder member relationships a couple days back. We're seeing here Paul getting ready to do what? Leave and depart, right? And he calls upon the Ephesian elders to meet him. For some reason, Paul doesn't ask to meet there in Ephesus, right? He calls upon them to meet him in Miletus. Interesting that he does that. I haven't done a thorough study on that to understand why that was the case. But I see that these elders were willing to meet a member, willing to meet somebody where they're at. Okay? That trip from Ephesus to Miletus is about 50 miles. Okay? Let's say a member of the University Church of Christ happened to be in San Antonio. And said, guys, Joe, Gail, can you come meet me? It's about a 50-mile trip, I guess, you know. And even asking someone nowadays with the transportation opportunities we have, 50 miles is still like, well, man, that's going to take some time out of my schedule. But okay, we'll be willing to do that. These elders were willing to travel 50 miles, however they did back then, by foot, by mule pack, whatever it was, these men were willing to go and meet these men wherever they were at. And I have a hunch that they were expecting not great news, but maybe some difficult news. Why is Paul asking us to meet him down there? That's a sign of a good eldership, willing to meet those individuals where they're at. That's hard. I've never been in those situations before. I know you guys elders have faced some difficult conversations, some difficult individuals, some difficult sheep that you had to shepherd, where you had to go and meet them where they were at, physically, spiritually, and maybe it's the same old thing. Same old with this individual. But I think helping them possibly keep them within the spiritual four walls of the congregation, it might take that mentality of an eldership, and you're already doing it. To keep doing that is meeting them where they're at. They're your flock. They're your flock. We see also that the elders here, at least from the account that we have, okay, in Acts chapter 20, verses 17 through 38, we see that they let Paul speak. They're just going to sit there and listen. They're going to sit there and listen. 32 years of marriage. Man, I still haven't learned to listen sometimes. And that's something that is a powerful tool, is to listen. It's just to keep my mouth shut as a husband, keep my mouth shut as a parent, as I've got one of them who just came in, one of my flock, one of my kids, and just listen. They've got something to say. And so you're already doing it, gentlemen. You're already doing this as an eldership. Keep doing it. Keep treating them like family. Keep being willing to meet them where they're at. And keep listening to them. Keep listening to them. They respect you. Maybe you don't always feel that way. But I think for the most part, the flock is respecting you. And they want to, they long to be near their shepherds. And to spend that time with you. Keep doing what you're doing. You're doing well. Hopefully that will help keep them. Keep them not just within the spiritual walls and keeping them from leaving the church, but maybe even in this day and age, going to the next congregation because they're disgruntled. And we're seeing more of that, aren't we? We want to keep our flock here. We love them. We want to see more of that. Any thoughts, questions? I didn't want to treat this as a sermon. And Brian did a great job a couple days ago when I was in here of having interaction. I want to give you that opportunity. I'll stop there for a moment. Yes, sir.
It reminds me of what he was saying about we have to know our congregation. We have to know our membership in order to be able to deal with the situations that they're dealing with.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Going through preaching school, homiletics, know your audience. Shepherd's got a greater responsibility. Know your flock. Obviously, we were familiar with the leaving the 99 to go tend to that one. And you all are doing a great job of that. Keep that in mind, that knowing your flock, knowing when they're wandering off. Correct. Anything else?
I think knowing the generation that we've got right now with the millennials coming up to learn them because their average job span is about 3 to 5 years.
So right.
I think it carries over in the church. I think the more the family relationship that we can get with them,
right,
is going to keep them. We can't change to what entertains them, but the family relationship can.
Right. Absolutely. I've only been a Christian 32 years, and some of you may have been or are on 5 decades of membership. I don't know. I came in, like I said, late in the game, at least my thinking, when I was a 19-year-old, not too late, but from what I've seen from 86 till now, the families, not just in the world, but within the church, are not as strong as they used to be. Got to work on that. The culture, obviously, with the technology age, the way it is, and it is not slowing down anytime soon, and it won't. Yes, sir.
I appreciate the point. I'm raising millennials, or whatever you call them. The social media, the telephone age, kids, and the challenge is real. But one of the things that I'm noticing for elders, this is what I think is important, future elders or whatever, we can't ignore technology. I'd love to. I hate it, and I only use it because I have to. The social media and stuff, here's the experiment that I'm noticing. Kids love attention, and they're feasting on that social media attention like crazy.
Yeah.
Well, how do you replace that attention with proper attention? It goes back to the home. But again, elders have to be prepared for this.
Right.
Because that generation is going to be, you know, another 5-10 years, it's going to be an interesting world we're living in. It's already an interesting world, but what are we going to do?
Definitely.
I don't know the answer to all that. I don't do a whole lot of social media. I have a Facebook account because of business primarily. And a few family things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know a thing about all this Snapchat and all this, but
right.
You ask a kid, they do.
Right.
It's a whole mystery world to me.
It is. It is. Without a doubt, and it's not like, again.
So what he was saying, you know, knowing the congregation, that's a challenge.
It is a challenge.
I don't know that world.
All right.
And I'm not sure I'm equipped.
We have to make an effort.
Yeah.
We've got to try to know what they're dealing with, and let them know that we're concerned about them is one of the things.
Right.
There's a great illustration between a good shepherd and a worthless shepherd in John 10. There's a hireling, you know, who's going to forsake the flock. But then there's the good ones who smell just like a flock.
Right.
And so he has the lint all over the clothes and whatnot. It's a good
yeah. Illustration. I know, Brian, you made reference to when you're in Roanoke, an elder that, though he was gone a lot, he was very involved with the congregation, and he was tech savvy. You know, it's interesting that I was thinking about that with this account, with this interaction with Paul and the elders at Ephesus. Paul could have wrote a letter. He could have used the modern technology, if you will, or the elders could have, you know, expected a letter. Or expect a letter, thinking, wow, you know, that's the modern technology. He could have wrote a letter and sent it, but there was face-to-face time. And not to say that the elders need to not learn today's technology, but that face-to-face time is so valuable, too, that even the millennials are wanting that. They may not say it.
That's a good point.
But they're going to want that. They are. It was Cigna. Cigna came out with a study. Cigna, the health insurance company, came out with a study, and I didn't bring it with me. Anyway, it talks about how what people are facing with all this social media that's going on, and all this supposed being able to relate more with people because of our technology, loneliness is becoming... is increasing in this country and probably around the world. The people are feeling lonelier and lonelier even with social media. People are feeling alone. And so in being able to go back to Acts chapter 2 and see that fellowship is taking place, and fellowship is not, and I'm preaching to the choir, fellowship is not a potluck dinner. It's way more than that. Okay, fellowship is that interaction. It's that one-on-one or 50 with 50 or whatever it is. It's the family coming together for that Thanksgiving meal or whatever it is. It's coming together and being the true family of God, and treating them like family, listening to them, being willing to at any time say, yeah, I'll come meet you, or come on over, spend time together. Loneliness is taking its effect on this world as the population continues to grow and the ability to be able to communicate is a lot easier. People are getting lonelier. They are. Any other thoughts, questions, comments?
One of the things that I've noticed somewhat in our congregation is that so many of the members don't understand the function of an elder. And consequently, when you start trying to deal with problems, they say, well, who do you think you are interfering with my situation? And so you've got that problem to overcome.
That is a battle. Mm-hmm. That is a battle. They don't understand, and quite frankly, I don't want to understand what you're going through. I mean, at some point, I'm hoping that, you know, the Lord allows me to be a part of the eldership. I'm willing if that opportunity comes. But I know the older I get, the more I understand, wow, what they go through. It's a full-time job. Yes, sir?
I think that the congregation needs to have the teaching, maybe from the pulpit, the elder's responsibility to the church and the church's responsibility to the elders to get to know what he's talking about, what the responsibility that elders have, and
yeah,
the concerns that they have.
Let me add to that. Yes, I think that needs to be made mention of. But some of the older members that are not in an eldership, some of the members that have fully 100%, not 99%, 100% support what the eldership is doing, we need to take that upon ourselves to take a younger Christian, a more immature Christian, and take them aside and say, Let me tell you a little bit about what this eldership is doing, because having the eldership to do that, I have no problem with that, but I think the other more mature members of a congregation, they take it upon themselves to show and talk and verbalize that this is why we support these great bunch of guys. Not perfect, but they're great, and they're willing to do whatever it takes to see all of us here be united, to be on the same page, whatever it takes. But yeah, I think getting the word out and having the congregation know what's taking place is important.
Even we may think, well, we've done that before. We know these people know that, and some of them don't, and some of them may not have been involved in the lessons that you went over. And
right,
just because we've preached on baptism before doesn't mean we need to preach on it again.
Right.
We need to preach on those basic things.
Right. Absolutely. I loved, how many of you were here yesterday afternoon at the 1:30 session with Neil Pollard on regarding losing your children, children falling away? Grab those points, find that on the audio. That is so applicable. It parallels what you as elders and eldership, you can glean much from that too, because again, it's about family, right? And it's very applicable to an eldership, membership, relationship. I don't see anything that it doesn't apply to. It's very applicable.
John, one thing I'm thinking about with keeping them in and watching the back door.
Right.
Why do folks leave after a while? I think that's one of the questions we look at. Quite honestly, what I've seen over the years is folks leave because they don't feel engaged. I don't feel like I'm a part of this family.
Yep.
When you think about a home, and a mother and a father and their kids, and the kids leave the faith or leave the family, the prodigal son, is because they didn't feel like they were engaged, or they wanted something bigger and better. And I can't help but wonder if within our congregations, we've got to know each other. We've
yep.
got to spend time with each other. And I don't know how, in the last several years, over the years that I've been in a couple of different congregations, I can tell you on one hand how many times I've been in an elder's home and they've invited me to their home. And I served as one of the ministers.
Right.
And there's just that expectation that, I see you at church. And, mm-hmm. and I really think we've got to be better about that. Well, we've got to say, come over for supper. Or we'd want to do a breakfast on a Saturday brunch or something that way. And not just pinpoint one person, but get two or three families to come and do that fellowship and let people know you're valued. You're mm-hmm. part of this, you're part of this family. And as right. the shepherds, as the elders, we believe in this family and we believe in you.
Right. Well, the model again, I always go back to Acts chapter 2. That's the model. Getting to know, as the brother back there said, getting to know your flock, getting to know them, getting them involved, knowing when to give brother or sister so-and-so some type of responsibility. Again, knowing that flock, at what point, they'll take off with whatever it is you're giving them to. And everybody here, I'm sure, is in agreement that a congregation that is only meeting and only doing things for 5 to at the most 6 hours out of a 168-hour week, not going to last too long, okay? I don't know, it's important that we always, obviously, worship the first day of the week. And those elder-appointed times to meet, like if it's a midweek Bible study and a Sunday evening, spot on. Don't ever neglect that, but know your flock and get them involved. And again, Acts chapter 2, my experience with the military congregation overseas where I didn't have family to go home to on the weekend or holidays, we were each other's family. I learned a lot from that. it didn't translate over back to the States when I got back. When I came back to the States in North Carolina, man, the expectation of the church was way up here. And when I got back, it was way down here. Partly it was my immaturity of what to expect, but also it just wasn't the same. And so, thankfully, I stuck in there, stayed with it, and see that, you know, it's a whole house church worldwide probably problem that 10 to 20%, whatever figure you want to put, other 10 to 20% of the members of the congregation do that 80 to 90% of the work. I think that's a worldwide Christian problem, but what can we do to make it better? What can we do to make it better? I had another hand back here. Daniel?
Just to reiterate, brother, I think a lot of times elderships fail, or maybe forget, perhaps a better word, that it is a full-time job.
It is.
There is that dynamic family union, and that's even alluded to in the qualification of the elders. They can't rule their own household well. How can they rule the flock well? That carries directly over. And it certainly does tie into the concept of the family. You know, as a family member, the head of the household, we go about our day, come back, hi, honey, how was your day? The kids, how was school, whatever it was. How you doing? You need help, whatever it is. It's a full-time work. And it has to be carried over to the congregation.
I love that. Yeah. If I were a part-time dad, you know, he probably wouldn't be where he's at, my son here. He wouldn't. Or a part-time parent. Eldering, shepherding. Mm-hmm. It's not a part-time gig.
That's
right. BJ.
If I may, gentlemen, I'm only 24. But I come from a small congregation, and we're bilingual, so it's Spanish and English. And I'm very, we are very blessed. We have a strong young men that are 17 through my age, and we have a very close relationship with our deacons and uncles. But the main point and why that is because starting at a young age, 14, 15, they started giving us responsibilities. Let's say some of our elderlies missed service. Well, now that we went in a drive and we have cars, well, they started teaching us how to give the Lord's Supper in their homes. And recently, 2 years ago when I started my nursing school, I left my lights on and my battery died, so my engine didn't start. Well, I called Mr. Roach, who's my elder, because I can count on him. Because he's not afraid to let me know, like, hey, come sit down and talk to me. And he's a sheriff. So one day he took me to a bar, and I was like, what are we doing? Mm. And he says, we're just going to have some chips and salsa and talk. I just want to know how you're doing. Are there any women in your life? And he's a very father-like figure. But the older members aren't afraid to engage with the young ones and give them responsibility. We have there's two young men, and they're very, very, I love them so much. Sebastian is 18, Joshua's 15. And what we do, where I live, we live 15 minutes from the border of Mexico, deep South Texas. Most of the congregations around our area are dying because there's no young people. So we'll send out three of our young men to go and preach. And they'll go preach and they'll do the Lord's Supper. And it's just to make sure that the elderly people there know that they're going to be taken care of. Instead of having to stress out about what's going on at home or their financial abilities. And the main reason is because the elders and deacons give us responsibilities, and they're not afraid to say, hey, it's Friday night. You know, I know you're going to go to a football game, but how about you come over?
Yeah.
I'll barbecue. We'll feed you. And let's have your personal, not Bible study, but let's make you a stronger person in faith.
That's great.
I don't think of my elders and deacons as elders and deacons. They're like my uncles and my grandparents.
Perfect. Perfect example. Perfect example. I know time is up. Just giving that responsibility, being a father-like figure, just being a family member. is important. Two very quick points, and I can't get into detail with this. Look at the, if you go back to Acts chapter 20, look at the emotion that the elders show. Guys, we can't be afraid to show that emotion. Let our emotions out within God's context, within His will. And secondly, the door that we worry about people leaving, sometimes we've got to just give that over to God. Think about Noah when he built the ark. Okay, in Genesis 6:16, God instructed him to set the door of the ark in the side of it. Genesis 7:16. You know, Noah wasn't building this ark and the water wasn't coming up going, God, what about that door? What do we do? He trusted God with the door. We got to do the same. Because God, what? Closed the door. It was God's doing. So there's times we just got to give the door, literally speaking, figuratively speaking, over to God. So, all right. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for your time.